It's like a lot of fun, but it's only for women. Sorry, guys. But there is a table in the back. I hope you stop by if you're interested in that. All right, well, I was given the task of giving you the word today, which I love to do. I love to study the word and see how it applies to us. And this week I want to talk about Thanksgiving. And I think Thanksgiving is a fantastic holiday. It's one of the few remaining holidays that are recognized by the public, recognized in the civil sector, by the schools, that have an origin that's something about God. Now, I know the historical revisionists might argue, but initially, Thanksgiving was about giving thanks to God, for provision and religious freedom. But regardless of that, Thanksgiving today is a holiday that you and I as believers can really excel in, because we are called to be thankful people and grateful people. So what I want to do today is just look at the word thanks, maybe look at it in a couple other languages, see what we can learn from it, maybe, and see what we can apply to our lives in the spirit. I like to find derivatives of words. I think it was last week or the week before, Rob had us stand up, and especially those from other countries, and you know, say where you're from. So I looked over the audience. I'm thinking there's probably a dozen or more languages that are represented, native tongues here. And so when you look at words and you see other languages, you can see, wow, perhaps there's something more to learn from the thing we know. I was on a flight to Israel about 5 years ago. And I normally order the kosher meal on long flights, not because it's good, but it's predictable. Right? You kind of know what you're going to get. It's going to be bland, but you know what it's going to be. And what it normally does is it comes in like a little box with, you know, a little main entree, some sides, and some fruit. And this one happened to be this blue box from Continental, and it had along the top of it, bon appetit in all these different languages. You know, that's French, where you have a good meal, and buen appetito, and all these other, the same phrase in all these different languages right on down the line. Some of them were like Chinese and Farsi and Cantonese, and one of them was, and maybe some of you speak this language, eat schmechlich. Seriously, it was, you think of this, E-E-T, S-M-A-K-E-L-I-J-K-H-T. Eat schmechlich. And I just thought that was so funny. Eat schmechlich. You know, when the first thing you want to see, you open the box. Eat schmechlich. And the friends I was with, they all thought that was really funny. Eat schmechlich. So you can imagine for the rest of the trip, schmechlich became our favorite word, you know. Every time we're eating at some Israeli restaurant and they give us something we don't understand what it is, can't identify it, it must be schmechlich. You know, you walk into the hotel, there's a smudge on the mirror. It's schmechlich. You're walking down the street, you step in, I think I stepped in schmechlich. You know, it's like schmutz in Yiddish. It's never good. And I made it part of my vocabulary. Well, I came home from Israel and came back and, you know, joked about it a little bit. A few months later, I was at a luncheon, a formal banquet in Nashville, Tennessee at the Hilton for concert promoters, Christian concert promoters. And I was at a table. And around the table, you are with strangers, obviously, that are in the same profession. And we say who you are, where you're from. I'm Raphael from New Jersey. I'm so-and-so from Chicago. Someone else from the UK, you know, all around. And the guy next to me, I'm Hans from the Netherlands. And as soon as he said, I'm Hans from the Netherlands, I kind of folded my arms and looked down. And my mind is spinning. I'm thinking, I think schmechlich is Dutch. And then if it's Dutch, I think they speak Dutch in the Netherlands. And then, you know, other people are making small talk, but I'm like kind of like thinking and fidgeting and like getting all kinds of nervous. And then the moment of truth happened. The meals were served. Everyone's served around the table. And I'm looking. And as soon as he served, mind you, I have not said anything to this man. He served, and I look at him as soon as he's about to eat, and I say, eat schmechlich! And he looks at me, and for like a brief second, I'm thinking to myself, it's not Dutch. They don't speak Dutch in the Netherlands. I have a lot of explaining to do. And he looks at me, and he says, very good. Do you speak Dutch? It's actually pronounced eet schmechlich, but that's very good. I never saw an American say that to me. Anyway, so we're going to look at some of the origins of thanks. Let's pray before we get off track any further, because it's just going to be a stand-up routine, and Rob's not going to like that. So, Lord, I thank you so much for words and language and your word that you've given us. It's the word of truth. Even though it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic, those of us in English derive so much wisdom and living knowledge from this, living truth from this. So I pray that today that anything that's said and done would glorify you, and that you'll give us a glimpse into Scripture that helps us and helps solidify what the truth is about being thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at a couple scriptures. Let's first look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 5:18, actually. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Wow. Couldn't be more succinct. What's God's will for you? To give thanks. Second scripture. I'm just going to do three of these, and then we'll take a look at them all. Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Okay? And then let's look at Colossians 3:15, 16, 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or in deed, do it all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him." So you see a pattern here. It's very, very clear in Scripture how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be thankful. And that's why I believe as Christians, we can set the bar on what it is to celebrate Thanksgiving and to be thankful. We're to be thankful in all things, in all deeds, in all words. Now, I know it's not always easy to be thankful because we're circumstantial people. We're usually more thankful if things, our circumstances are going well. And that's not always been the case, especially this year. Let's face it, 2011, rough year, right? Economy's not been great. Several of you have big health concerns. And what else? The flood. We had a devastating flood on campus. Those of you that don't know, the flood level was, I think, about up to my waist. That's where the water was that destroyed this campus. You would have been underwater. And in some cases, like the chapel, from the basement to the waterline was about 14 feet. And so this flood destroyed us. And we're still just kind of getting back on our feet, getting recalibrated. Like, I don't even have an office. My office was washed away. It's gone. All my stuff. Not all of it. I saved some of the things, but some of my favorite things are gone. In fact, like, I always, you know, have to find a place to do my work, my studying, things like that. A friend of mine who I'm in a Bible study with owns a tattoo shop on Route 22. He says, "Raphael, I have empty office upstairs of the tattoo shop." No lie. I wrote most of this sermon in an empty office upstairs of a tattoo shop on Route 22. I mean, when was the last time you heard a sermon that was written in a tattoo shop? Come on. But I'm grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to have a space to work. But we're to give thanks regardless of circumstance. We're to give thanks, if you want to say regardless of circumstance, you could. But the circumstances truly are that we have eternal life and hope of glory through Jesus Christ. That is what we're thankful for. So getting back to our word study, what does the word thanks mean? Well, our language, English, is a Germanic language, meaning it comes from old German roots. And so the German word for thanks is Dank. Dank. Dank is where we get thanks. If you're German, you might say Danke or Dankeschön. If you're Wayne Newton, you say, "Dankeschön, darling, Dankeschön." But donk, the translation for donk is gratitude. Gratitude is how you would, is the, really the English translation for the root of donk. Now, gratitude, let's keep going, comes from the Latin gratis or gratia. Gratia. Now we can start looking at languages. Let's take a look at some of our more common languages in this room. Latin is gratius. Italian, how do you say it? Prego, prego. And how you say it in Spanish? Gracias. So you're seeing something emerge here from the root of our thanks, and that is the word gratia or gratis. grace. I truly believe that the word grace is at the root of our word thanks. And grace, let me tell you, is the most important word in our theology. Our salvation is based on grace through faith. Now, there's other words that are related, like gracious, grateful, gratis, who somebody pointed out can also mean free, which goes right along with the theme of grace, gratuity. And these are all ways of thanking grace, thanking or being thankful, offering gratitude, is grace. And grace, my friends, is the essence of our Christianity. I would say that we could speak about grace for a year and not fully exhaust the truth that we need to all learn about grace. It's because of grace that we're saved. Grace is how God delivers his love towards us. Philip Yancey wrote a book called What's So Amazing About Grace? Sort of a play on the popular hymn. And in it, he says this: the many uses of the word in English convince me that grace is indeed amazing, truly our last best word. It contains the essence of the gospel as a drop of water contains the image of a sun. Grace is our best word. It, you know, I would say it's only second to love in terms of how we express God's heart towards us. Now, of course, you have Jesus and God, but in terms of nouns, love, and then somewhere under that is grace. What is grace? We need to know exactly what grace is. It's what compels us to love God and to be thankful. In Bible school and children's church, even Bible study, we learn that the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. It is a good definition. It's important to know what it means. Unmerited favor is getting something that you don't deserve. Getting something you don't deserve. Similar to mercy, but different. What is mercy? Well, mercy could be defined as forbearance or compassion or not getting what you do deserve. Let me give you an example. How many of you remember or ever saw the play Les Miserables or the movie? I dreamed a dream that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. All right, I'm no Susan Boyle, but anyway, here's the plot. So Jean Valjean is an escaped convict, and he's being pursued by Javert. And he's desperate. He's on the streets. He breaks into the bishop's house, and he steals his silverware. He steals the silverware so he can sell it and eat. He's caught by the police. He's brought back to the bishop's house to face the bishop. Now, the bishop shows two things. He shows mercy, and he also shows grace. First, mercy. He forgives Jean Valjean, and he does not hold him accountable for stealing his silverware. He forgives him of that. But then he goes one step further. He says, and Mr. Valjean, you've also forgotten to take the silver candlesticks that I have here. Take them with you as well. You left without them. And first he shows mercy. He doesn't give him what he deserves, and that's a jail sentence. But beyond that, he goes deeper, and he shows him grace. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. He didn't give him the punishment he deserved, but he did give him a blessing he did not deserve. And that's what grace is. Grace, to me, is how the Lord died on the cross and offered us eternal life, salvation. We didn't deserve that, but he gave it to us. What happens when you're completely overwhelmed with grace? When you recognize the sacrifice that was made for you? When you recognize the free gift of God, salvation through Jesus Christ? Thank you. Gratitude. Thanks. It just comes and it flows from you. And you become a grateful person. I had a woman in my Bible study tell me that when she was baptized, and it all made sense to her last year, and she realized, God died for me, and he saved me. He gave me his Holy Spirit. He gave me forgiveness. And she just said, she started saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. She couldn't stop saying, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. She was filled with the gratitude that we're talking about when we talk about Thanksgiving. In my upbringing, we had we used to give thanks over the food. How many of you give thanks over the food at home? I hope you all do. Before you eat, you give thanks. Sometimes it's called saying bless the meal or giving thanks. But sometimes it's called, in my house, it was called saying grace. Saying grace. Now, it has some religious origin, but I really kind of like that. You're saying grace. Because if grace means thanks, then why not say grace? And here's my household. When I was a little kid, 5 years old, I'm one of 12 children. So my parents had six sons and six daughters. And here's what it looked like. Our kitchen had a table, a long table. It was longer than most picnic tables, so it kind of looked like one. And it had two long benches on either side, padded benches. My father made all these things. And my father would sit on one side, and my mother would sit down on the end. And all six brothers would be on one side, and all six sisters on the other, in order of age, oldest by my dad, youngest to my mom. So I'm the youngest of the six brothers. I was always right there in the corner by my mom. And my sisters all the way down to the babies. I have two younger sisters, and they'd be by my mom. And before we could eat, before we could touch, before we could pick a French fry off the plate or anything, we would say grace. And it would be, and some of you know this one, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive in thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I think it's a Catholic prayer. But when you look at it, it's very apropos. It's perfect. Bless us, O Lord, not bless the food. That's really not even biblical, blessing the food. We're blessing God for the food. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, which we are about to receive through thy bounty in Christ our Lord. Give attention to you. Amen. Now, I strongly recommend that you say grace or give thanks every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's how we do it at our house, even at restaurants. My kids know it. I strongly recommend you give thanks before each meal, but especially take the opportunity this Thanksgiving to say grace, to give thanks. I know that there's a lot of families that just don't do it, and some of you will be going over your somebody's house, a friend or a family member, and they're not Christian. Maybe they're secular. Maybe they don't believe in all that stuff, and they just say, when the food's there, you just sit down and eat it. But I would suggest that you offer up the suggestion of let's give thanks for the food, because it's the one night a year, this coming Thursday, where most families, if not all, would be open to that. And sometimes I've been in family things where the head of the household does not even believe in God, but he'll say, okay, well, we're about to eat, food's ready, turkey's getting cold, Raphael, you're all into God and Jesus or something, why don't you say something, or you're a man of the cloth, why don't you, and I hope that you do it. I hope that you take that opportunity and that you give thanks for not just the food, but for the other things, the blessings that God has given you in your life. Take that opportunity to give thanks. Make it count. Don't just pray one of those prayers that are like, Lord, bless the food and bless the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. I like the blessing of the hands that prepared it. I always take that a step farther. Bless the hands that prepared it and the fingernails on the hands that prepared it. If there be any dirt or bacteria under those fingernails, please make sure that they do not end up on the food. as a worship leader, and this is the idea of giving thanks is central to worship. It's central to worship. Thanks is the entryway into deep worship. Let's look at this scripture in Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. What that means is you enter into the gates holding a turkey and some cranberry sauce. No, that's not what it means. It tells you what to do and it tells you how to do it. Very, very succinct, well-written verse. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Well, how? Well, you give thanks to him and then you praise his name. But as a worship leader, I direct it this way. I envision a palace or maybe even the temple that's gated. So from the outside, you have to enter gates to get into the inside. And the gates are strong and very fortified and substantial gates. And they only open if you say the magic word, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, God. And as you do, you are able to enter into those gates, proverbially. And then you see what's inside. What's inside? The courtyard. The courtyard is where the high praise of the Lord takes place. So you enter into the gates, thank you, God, thank you, God. And then you enter into the courts with praise, high praise to the Lord. And as you enter worship that way, you start to feel God's presence. He recognizes your gratitude and you start to, radiate with joy and love and the things that worship is all about, exaltation and celebration and things like that. All through Scripture, there's songs of praise, and most of them, many of them, I should say, are centered around thanks. There's a Hebrew song that appears in Scriptures many times, almost always in Psalms, but other places as well, and it's Hodu La'adonai Kitov. Hodu La'adonai Kitov. And what that means is, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This is not just a directive. This is a song. It's written as a song to sing, as a praise song. When we sing our praise song, thankfulness needs to be present in our hearts and in our motivation. Let's look at Colossians 3:16. We read it before, but I want to read it in the NLT right now because it brings about a wonderful expression. Verse 16 says, let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. But then it tells us to do something else as well. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And when you come into His presence, when you come into worship with thanksgiving in your heart, with thankful hearts, your worship is exponentially greater than you would if you were selfish and inward thinking. You know, and that's just true with all of life. Have you ever met a miserable, thankful person? No. I mean, I meet people all the time. I was talking to a lot of you as you walked in today, and there's just some people that are really grateful. Hey, how you doing? Great, thank God. You know, by God's grace, thank Him, doing good. People that just thank God all the time. Thank you. Things going good? Thank God they are. You know, they immediately thank. And those are not the miserable ones. Those of us that are miserable, like, how you doing? Well, I'm not feeling so great today. Could be better, right? It's Monday, you know. We need to be grateful people. Let the presence of the Lord radiate inside of us. And watch what happens. We become grateful. You know who I think was the most thankful person in the Bible? Jesus. Jesus was a very grateful man. He was a very grateful man. Let's look at, you know, as we look at Scripture, we see Him appearing and He's about to do this great miracle. And right before He does it, He gives thanks. Like the feeding of the multitudes, both times, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000 with just a couple fish and some bread. Before He did anything else, He took the fish, He took the bread, and He gave thanks to God and blessed it, and then it fed the multitude. Or like on Emmaus Road, after He died and He rose from the dead and He appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which is just outside Jerusalem, they're walking along and Jesus kind of walks along with them and He starts speaking to him about the mysteries of God, and they are telling him, but don't you know what happened in Jerusalem? And, you know, Jesus died and He was crucified, and they're walking and He starts speaking to them about the mysteries of God, and they weren't sure who He was. He probably shrouded, hooded as you walk along the road in the dark. And until He broke bread, they sat, let's have a meal. They broke bread and He gave thanks. He gave thanks. And it says, as He gave thanks, their eyes were opened and they understood that they were with Jesus. His gratitude spoke to them. How about the Last Supper? And we celebrate the Last Supper when we do communion. It's really sort of a microcosm of communion. It's really the last Seder is what it is, because it was a Passover Seder and He would celebrate it each year. And this time He said, this is the final one. I'm going to celebrate with you here on this side of heaven. And He took the bread. And what did He do before He broke it and gave it to His disciples? He gave thanks. He took the cup, and before He passed it to His disciples, He gave thanks. He would have said, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, borei pri hagafen. Blessed are You, Lord God, King of the universe, and blessed is the fruit of the vine. It's a Jewish Hebrew blessing of thanks for the bread, for the wine. Jesus was a grateful person. And for that, I really believe Jesus was a joyful person. Called the man of sorrows because He carried the sorrow of sin in His heart. But He would have been a grateful, loving, and joyful person if you were to walk with Him for those 3 years He was on the earth with His disciples. And He tells us to be thankful as well. It's one of the things He asks of us. There was a time where Jesus was walking in Upper Galilee, near Samaria, so the border of Samaria and Galilee, pretty close to where the Golan Heights is today, not far from Syria. So He's walking along with His disciples, and they come across some lepers, 10 lepers. Now, lepers are people that have leprosy. Leprosy was an awful disease. It was a flesh-eating disease. It was very contagious, and people were required, if you had leprosy, to stay with the other lepers and don't go near anybody else. They had to dress like lepers. Some of them had to wear bells or something to notify that a leper's coming, covering their mouths, covering their faces, really like almost like living mummies, and they were ostracized. And so, well, let's look at the story in Luke chapter 17. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, hold on. They have leprosy. Priests were all about cleanliness. In fact, most of those 630-something laws in Leviticus and beyond are about cleanliness. Priests were all about cleanliness. The last thing they wanted to see was lepers. They wanted to stay as far from unclean people as they could. But Jesus had pity on them, mercy, compassion. He looked at them, he said, "I'll give you a test." He didn't say this, but he thought to himself, "If you'll show enough faith to just obey my order, obey my directive, watch what happens." He said, "Okay, go show yourself to the priest." Now, if they showed themselves to the priest and they were declared lepers, more lifetime of leprosy. If the priest, for any reason, might have declared them clean, then they're free from this leprosy. And as they went away, they were cleansed. So perhaps as they were walking towards where the priests were, their flesh was restored. The disease may have left their body. They must have been so excited. Can you imagine how excited you would be if this disease that has kept you trapped and you thought you'd die with it started to leave you as you walked away? And one of the 10, upon seeing that he was healing and his body was being restored, he ran back to Jesus and he fell at his feet. And he threw himself and he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus." And this guy wasn't one of his compadres. He was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan that you normally wouldn't associate with. And Jesus asked this Samaritan who was cleansed, "We're not all cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And so what do we learn from this story? That Jesus wants us to be thankful. He wants us to give thanks to God. He doesn't want us to just receive the blessing and then go on our way blessed and forget about Jesus. He wants us to be thankful. And we all, every person in this room, have something to be grateful for. Now, I know we also probably could think of many things that we're very concerned about that don't bring us joy and gratitude circumstantially. All of us have those, but we also have a lot to be grateful for. And it's incumbent upon us to thank God for these things. Thank Him for the provision that you have. You know, if you've ever visited Haiti, I've been there twice, or India or Africa, other places, I mean, you know, they would take one look at this and they think, "Wow, a bunch of millionaires living in luxury." That's who you would be to them. We have so much here. God has given us so much, even provisionally, even materially. But we tend to complain that we don't have, you know, "I don't make enough money, my car is 12 years old," and things like that. But God wants us to be grateful in all things. I mean, above all things is the grace that our sins are forgiven. I mean, if nothing else, even if you're completely in debt and totally overcome with disease or whatever it might be, your sins are forgiven. And if next week we're telling the congregation how you passed away, not Marvin Sharp, but you, well, guess what? You'll be in eternity in paradise with Jesus. That is something to be grateful for. It doesn't end with your mortal body. We have hope of glory, something to be grateful for. And how about your health? I know that some of you are carrying some health issues, but most of us are healthy enough to be able to sit upright. Most of us were able to walk into this room today. Hey, that's something to be grateful for. And what about your children? Healthy kids and others. Yeah, there are some issues. I have issues of my own. You know, each year around Thanksgiving, it seems I get my MRI checked. And some of you know that I have a neurological condition that I was diagnosed 4 years ago. It's, for lack of a better term, because technically it's something else, but it's like singular sclerosis. Now my doctors say, oh, it's the beginning of multiple sclerosis. You basically have MS. We're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. So we're going to treat you as if you have MS. I'm like, okay, I understand that. So I have to take an injection every other day, and I don't like shots, but I do it. But each year around Thanksgiving, I get an MRI, brain, spinal cord. And each year, the MRI comes up clean, no progression, no advancement. I'm completely healthy. Yeah, praise God. And I thank God for that. Thank you, God. You know, and I know some others carry diseases and things, conditions like that. But we're okay, guys, and we're making it. God is leading us through. I don't say I'm healed because I'm not. It would show up in the MRI if I was healed. But I'm held. I always say I'm held by God. And I think being held in some ways is even better than being healed. It keeps me grateful and keeps me dependent upon God's grace. But I forget sometimes. Sometimes I forget and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not feeling so good today. I'm tired. I can't do what I used to. God, you know, what's wrong? You know, I'm not really doing very well here. And I forget to be grateful. I forget to be grateful. And I'm reminded through Scripture that we are to be grateful in all things. In everything, give thanks. Is how we started. In everything, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I always look to my little daughter Phoebe's video. She made a little video. I caught her one time running around the living room being grateful. her mouth was healed, she burnt her mouth or something. She prayed to God. He healed it. And she said, thank you, God, running around the living room. Thank you, God. I caught it on my BlackBerry. I kind of like, you know, the proud father with always BlackBerry in hand. Should have a holster, like, you know, they're not going to have enough time to see all the videos that we took of them. I don't think we have enough time. If we started now, like, by the time we're retired, we'd finish it. But for a minute and 13 seconds, I saw something that inspires me every time I look at it. And that's someone recognizing that healing, grace, is a gift of God. And we are to give thanks to God with reckless abandon. Now, I put that online. Some of you know it went all over the internet. It went viral on YouTube and Godvine and, you know, all these sites. It was on Facebook, churches posting it on blogs, articles written about it, many churches showing it on their screens throughout the world. I'm hearing reports of it, commentaries. I mean, it's amazing. One church that I really respect is a famous church out in Redding, California called Bethel Church. It's where the Jesus culture comes from. We do a lot of the Jesus culture worship songs here. But they do worship and healing conferences. And one morning, the pastor, Bill Johnson, he stands up and he goes, okay, we're going to have a course on what to do, how to respond to God when you're healed. Now, sit back. He shows the video. A minute and 13 seconds, Phoebe running around thanking God. And then afterwards, they're clapping. He goes, you just had lesson one. There are no other lessons. You passed the course. This is all you need to do. And I tell you that, and maybe we'll show the clip. I tell you that because we have to remember to thank God in all things, regardless of your circumstances. And I know some of us carry some heavy weights, but watch what happens when we are grateful to God. He fills us with joy. And let that joy and that grace permeate your thanksgiving. You know, God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith, a free gift of God. That's something to be grateful for. And whatever else that comes with it is just, quote unquote, gravy on top of that. So let's take a look at the video and then we'll sing about grace. How does that sound?
If we were to ever have a class on this is how you respond when you get healed, this would be lesson number one. Go ahead and play this video.
Healed me. What? Jesus healed me from my mouth.
What did you do?
I prayed to God and it made me feel better.
Wow, and then what happened?
And then what happened? I feel better.
So what did
you say?
I said, gorgeous man, you pray that you get my mouth better. That's what I
what do you say?
How are you? Thank you, God.
Oh, good girl.
I'm so
happy for you.
I'm happy with joy. I love you, God. Happy
Lift up a shout. That's awesome. Oh, my. We've just had a class on how you respond to God when you're healed. That was lesson number one. There are no more lessons. You just completed the course. Oh, my goodness, that's so fun. So cute.